This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
Excuse me, would you be able to come, would you be able to pray for my servant? He's dying. He's dying, and I need help.
Yes, I will come.
Oh, no, you don't need to come. Listen, I'm a centurion. I'm a Roman centurion. I tell you, you tell that guy, you go, he goes. You come. I have a servant. You just speak the word.
I have not found such greater faith. No, not in Israel. Not in Israel. Go thy way, and thy servant is healed.
Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Praise God. And, you know, thinking about that centurion, he was a very kind man, wasn't he? Well, let's pray, first of all. Father, thank you for your word today. We ask you to illuminate it in our hearts, Father, as we talk about your healing power, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for touching people who have been damaged in life in some way, emotionally, because you're concerned about the whole person. Father, that you would heal them from their past, any way they've been damaged. Lord, we thank you. But you're also concerned about the physical aspect of people too. For you said in your word that I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this centurion was quite a fella. He was a Roman soldier, of course. He was kind-hearted, and you could tell he really loved his servant. Okay, wanted to come to Jesus and get him healed. He paid for the construction of a synagogue for the Jewish people. He was a Jewish proselyte. He was a believer. And so that was really unique. And he said that, as you heard him mention there, if I tell a man to go, he goes, and to come, and he comes. In other words, he understood authority, and it was that authority that Jesus recognized in him that caused him to say, I've not seen such great faith, no, not in all Israel. But when he said in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 8, he said, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. What he was actually saying was, Jesus, this is one translation, by the way, Jesus, you have the right to make my servant whole just by saying so. Just by saying so. So he recognized the significance of authority. In fact, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to start with chapter 7 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. The Bible says in Matthew 7, 28, after Jesus finished speaking, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. For he taught as one who had real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. Now, this is something that people noted, the religious people particularly, about Jesus, that he spoke with authority. It wasn't so much his appearance, the way he looked, or anything like that. It was the fact that they were astonished by his authority with which he spoke, the boldness with which he spoke. So this man understood that authority, and it, of course, the scripture goes on to tell us that he said, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. So powerful words of authority that Jesus spoke, and they were profound, weren't they? The centurion knew the power of the seed, the significance of a seed. And whatever seed is planted, it will produce, won't it? The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55:11 that his word will not return void. Isn't that right? The word is powerful. Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, isn't it? And it even says it's to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Well, you know, over there, and I'm just taking a little side jaunt here, but in Matthew 15, we know the Syrophoenician woman, a Greek woman, wanted her daughter healed. And you remember she worshiped Jesus, and Jesus says, well, we don't give bread to the dogs. And she says, yes, and of course she was a Greek. She was outside the covenant of God. And she says, but Jesus, Don't the dogs get the crumbs from the table? And he said, yes, that's true. And here she was, a Greek, but she had faith, didn't she? And so Jesus healed her daughter. And once again, this word was primarily to the Jews, but also to the Greeks, if you read Romans 1:16. So that's partly why she received. But anyhow, let's go into our Bibles here in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. It says, Jesus climbed into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Well, of course, the religious people didn't like that, and they said, blasphemy, this man talks like he is God. Some of the teachers of the religious law said among themselves. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why are you thinking such evil thoughts? Is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? I will prove that I, the Son of Man, have the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, take up your mat, and go home, because you are healed. Hallelujah. And the man jumped up and went home. Fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happen right before their eyes. They praised God for sending a man with such great authority. Jesus spoke with authority. And I believe you and I can imitate Jesus in that regard. When we're facing oppressive forces or demonic spirits, you and I can speak with authority and command those things to get off of people and to leave them alone and to break the power of the enemy by the blood of Jesus and in the name that's above every name. Do you believe that today? So go with me to verse 27 in chapter 9. Chapter 9 and verse 27. After Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, Son of David, have mercy on us. They went right into the house where he was staying, and Jesus asked them, do you believe I can make you see? Yes, Lord, they told him. We do. Then he touched their eyes and said, because of your faith, it will happen. And suddenly they could see. Jesus sternly warned them, don't tell anyone about this, but instead they spread this fame all over the region. When they left, some people brought to him a man who couldn't speak because he was possessed with a demon. So Jesus cast out the demon, and instantly the man could talk. The crowds marveled. Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel, they exclaimed, because no one had spoken with such authority before. You know, when you think about the life of Jesus, he was a demonstration of the will of God, wasn't he? He was the will of God in action. He said, I don't do anything that the Father doesn't tell me to do. I don't say anything that the Father doesn't tell me to say. So what was he? He was the express image of God the Father. And what was he doing? He was going about Galilee healing people. So he was demonstrating that healing is the children's bread. He was demonstrating that that is part of not only the old covenant, but the new and better covenant. And Jesus' ministry, and that's one of my points today, actually, he overcame sickness in Galilee. When you think about it, he set a whole new tone, a whole new atmosphere that showed, and by the way, sickness and disease was running rampant throughout that area at this time. But Jesus said, I'm setting a new mental attitude here, that you can defeat sickness and disease. You can overcome it. Now, some of you might be sitting here today and saying, well, Pastor, I've had this issue, this medical issue in my life for years, and so I don't know that I even want to hear you preach this kind of message that healing is for today. And so I'm just going to cut that off and not listen to that kind of teaching anymore. But see, that's not the best attitude to have. The best attitude to have is say, I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to gain all the information and the revelation knowledge that I can, because I want to be healed, and I'm going to gain. The Bible tells us that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, I'm going to get some knowledge then, because it also says in Proverbs, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. It says in 2 Peter, that grace and peace are multiplied to us through what? Through the knowledge of God. I'm going to get all the information I can, and I'm just going to keep on standing. I'm not going to back off of it. No, I'm going to go the other direction. How many think that's a better attitude to have? Get all you can and can all you get. All right? Put that word in you and really allow God to work, because that word will go right down into your spirit. And so point number three there is Jesus emerging in Galilee was the end of a rampant destruction through sickness. Thank you, Terry, for getting that. That was a number three point. So I'm jumping around here a little bit today. So I know it was the same thing to me. When I first got born again, it took me a while to get a hold of this and to understand it, to get it working in my life and the life of my family. And it may take a little while to get some revelation, to undo some of the religious thinking, the stinking thinking that we've had in the past, that maybe, well, God's putting sickness on you to refine you, or God's putting sickness on you to teach you a lesson. No, He's not. God is not the author of sickness and disease. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Are you listening to me? Amen. So, you may be battling some illness right now, but I'm encouraging you. Just hang in there. Just keep putting the word in you. Keep standing. Keep trusting the word of God. See, you have a choice. You can trust people's experiences or what someone else has said in your institutionalized church regarding healing, or you can say, all right, I'm going to look at the Word. What does the Word say? I'm going to stick with the Word. Abraham, the Bible says, he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. What he spoke, what he uttered, what's on the pages of this book, he is also able to perform. So am I going to set aside mental assent or what this scientific person said and just adhere strictly to the Word of God and be fully persuaded? How many think that's a better idea? Yeah. Amen. Well, right in this church, we've had people, one person had leg and abdomen pain and they were healed. Another person had back pain. Many persons have had back pain. Neck pain and shoulders were set free and given mobility. One person even canceled their appointment at the chiropractor. So these are real instances where people were healed. So therefore, his propensity toward healing the sick revealed the will of the Father. Do you see that? I don't know, is that one of my points? Is that one of the first ones? I can't remember now. Let's see. Jesus' life and ministry, yes, was the will of God in action. And so, another point now, point number two is this. Healing was part of the old covenant. And certainly, since the new covenant is a new and better covenant, it includes it. And so, it is also in the new covenant. Now, you say, give me some scriptural proof of that. Well, in the Old Covenant, Exodus 23:25 says, if you serve the Lord your God, He'll bless your bread and bless your water and take sickness from the midst of you. He said in Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Amen. Of course, James chapter 5 says, is any sick among you? Let him call on the elders. Well, this is the New Testament. I'll stick with the old. I'll get to the new in a minute. Oh, here's a good one in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 30. Look at this. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 17. Look at this. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. It says, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. The New American Bible says, for I will restore you to health. Of your wounds, I will heal you. The Moffat translation says, for I will give you health again and heal your wounds. I will give you health again and heal your wounds. You say, Pastor, do you ever have anything wrong with you? Yeah, I've just been battling a little bit of sciatic here in this right leg, but, you know, I'm standing in faith. All right? And it's disappeared pretty much down my leg, and it's just a little bit in the ankle there, but God is at work, right? Hallelujah. So sure, we all get hit with things. And it doesn't mean that you're a bad person because you've been hit with symptoms. Doesn't mean you're a bad person because you got sick. No. And so, point number two again, healing was part of the old covenant, and certainly it's part of the new. Another good one for the old covenant is in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. It says, He hath borne our griefs. Now look up the word griefs in the Hebrew. It means sicknesses. And carried our sorrows. That word is pains in the Hebrew. Look it up in a Strong's. The word sorrows is pains. He's borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Okay? Say that with me. With His stripes, we are healed. Now, Jesus validated that verse. And as a matter of fact, He quoted that scripture in Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, when He said, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Let's look at that, Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Jesus is quoting Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. And He quotes it with the proper interpretation. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. And when the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick, not just some of them, but all. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. This is a quote from Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, and He interpreted it or translated it, whatever you want to say, properly. Infirmities. Took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And then, we know over in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, He hath borne our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, may live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Isaiah 53 says we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says we were healed. So if you were, then you are, and if you are, you were, and so you is. All right? Everybody say, I am. The healed of the Lord. So Jesus ratified then a new and better covenant based on better promises. And it included healing, but in a more profound way, because He added to the old covenant promises in the new covenant. So let's get our minds renewed, church. Let's not limit Him, all right? Well, I know, but not every church preaches that. I believe that you can go to a church and they're going to preach on the forgiveness of sins, and we need to be forgiven, and we do too. But don't stop there. Don't limit Him. Don't be a cessationist and say that power went out with the old covenant. It's no longer viable. Oh, yes, it is. Hallelujah. So let's go to point number four. There's no sickness greater than the Word of God. When you think about the Word, what does Jesus... His words are what? They're spirit in their life, aren't they? John 6:63 tells us, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. When Jesus was speaking, spirit was coming out. Life was coming out. And in Proverbs 4:20-24, it tells us that the Word of God is medicine. It says it is life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. Look up the word health in the Hebrew. You'll find out it means medicine. The Word of God is medicine. His words are spirit and life. Right now, you're listening to the Word on healing, and spirit and life is coming towards you. Medicine is going into your spirit, man. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, John 6:63, spirit and life. There is power in His words. Faith-filled words, someone said one time, faith-filled words will dominate the laws of sin and death. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life has made you free from the law of sin and death. These are words of life, spirit and life that you're hearing today. And there was, just to give you some more examples, one lady's shoulder was locked up and the pain left. One other lady had buzzing in her ears, and the buzzing just stopped. We had a word of knowledge for some sinus issues, and a lady's sinuses immediately drained, and the pressure left just by hearing the Word of God. All right? So just while you're sitting there, you are taking in life and medicine. Do you believe that today? Amen. So we already covered the one about Jesus emerging in Israel, ending the rampant destruction. He set a tone for a new atmosphere, didn't he? Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He went about healing all who were oppressed of whom? Not God. God's not the oppressor. All right? Who were oppressed of the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. Sickness is oppression of the devil. Once again, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means that from the fall of man, unleashed was calamity and sickness and pain and suffering, etc. All right? But Jesus didn't go around giving people sickness. All right? As a matter of fact, it says in 1 John 3:8 that he says he came to destroy the works of the devil. One translation, I think it's the Amplified, says, he came to loosen, to dissolve, and undo the works of the devil. Well, we just found out that sickness is oppression of the enemy, right? If you look at Luke chapter 13, it talks about the lady who was bent over the severe case of rheumatoid arthritis, and Jesus said, this lady whom Satan hath bound. Whom Satan hath bound. Ought she not be loosed from this infirmity? Why? Because she's a daughter of Abraham. She has a covenant with God. As per the old covenant. Should she, this woman who's bound, who Satan has bound, oughtn't she not be loosed? Even on the Sabbath day, he said. Sure. So, oppression is of the enemy. Amen. Satan is the destroyer. Sickness is the work of the enemy. Amen? Do you believe that? In fact, Moses even declared sickness as an evil thing. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15. Now, turn with me to James chapter 1 and verse 13. James 1:13. Are you getting anything out of this so far? James 1:13. Hallelujah. James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God's not the tempter. Well, I robbed that bank, and in the process I went to jail and got a bunch of people saved. Well, that wasn't God that tempted you to rob the bank, okay? What happened there was what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for good. All right. So he doesn't tempt you with evil. He doesn't tempt any man with evil. And if sickness is evil, I mean, you've been tested and tried with sickness? No. He's not the tempter. He's not the one that's tempting you with evil. In fact, verse 17 even says, every good and perfect gift. Every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Every good and every perfect gift. How many would say sickness is not a perfect gift? If you've ever been in pain, or had the flu, or corona, whatever, it's not a perfect gift. It's not a gift at all. And so Jesus came to relieve us from that sort of thing. To relieve us so that we wouldn't have to go through that. He's come to give us good gifts. Amen. So sickness is never the work of God. It's never something that God is using to refine you or to make you a more mature Christian. No. Now, go through it. Stand. Get on the other side of it. Yes, and you can dig your heels in and your faith can grow in the process. Point number four, there is no sickness greater than the Word of God. He sent His Word to heal. The Word is the vehicle that carries your healing. So take heed. The Bible says, take heed to what you hear. You got to be careful what you hear. You got to be careful what you put in your spirit. Does it matter where you go to church and what you hear? Absolutely. It could mean life or death. I was in the ministerium many years ago, still in the ministerium, and I heard a denominational preacher say, want somebody in his congregation, ask him, would you pray for my little girl? He says, no, I won't do that because that's what doctors are for. Well, I don't remember Jesus ever telling somebody that, do you? No. We need to adhere to the Word of God, right? So we've got to watch what we feed our spirit. We've got to watch what we allow to come into our spirit because it can affect us very adversely. As a matter of fact, I heard this story about a little girl. Her name was Allison, and she had stomach pain. So they took her to the doctors. They did x-rays, and that's a true story. They found out she had 28 little tiny beads in her stomach, a little dog's bone, a three plastic toy bricks, a deflated balloon, a little toy dog, 8 coins, bird seed, a little bit of sand, and several leaves. No wonder she had a tummy ache. No wonder she had pain in her stomach, right? Well, our stomachs aren't made for that, right? That's putting the wrong stuff in there, isn't it? And our organs don't function very well when you put the wrong thing in there. Well, the same thing is concerned with your spirit. If you put the wrong thing in your spirit, it's going to give you a spiritual tummy ache, right? And so we got to feed on the right things. Amen? And understand that sickness is not a blessing, it's an enemy. Would you tell me the other day you saw a sticker that said, I hate cancer? Okay, all right. Yeah, okay, where they get blood. I hate cancer. Yeah. Oh, the hematologist, yeah. So anyhow, that's the attitude we need to have. All right? Another person I just thought of was healed from headaches. Another person from back pain. Right in this service, right in one of our services here. So we got to be aware of what we feed our spirit and don't go with the toxicity of unbelief and contrary teaching, all right? Now, you can just be polite and say, thank you, but no thank you. I'm going to reposition myself here. But He wants you to have freedom from sickness and disease. Healing is in the atonement. It is the children's bread. Point number five. Freedom from sickness comes from truth, not from lies. John 8:32, and they'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So maybe for years you've been hearing something contrary to that. Let's get back to the truth. Let's get back to God's Word. Amen? Because it'll set you free. It'll make you free. Actually, the word set is only temporary. The word make is more permanent, isn't it? The word will make you free, right? Incidentally, speaking of that temporary thing, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And maybe you could do this with your particular condition. Think about it this way. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18 says, while we look not Well, let's start with verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary. Everybody say, my condition is temporary. But things which are not seen are eternal. The Word of God is eternal. So your condition is temporary, and that's the way you ought to look at it. Well, I'm battling these symptoms or pain or what have you. Consider it temporary. You're going to believe God. You're going to stand in faith and believe Him. And sooner or later, the manifestation is going to come. And in the meantime, in that interim, you're going to thank God, take the praise break, and say, yes, Lord, I believe that I received according to Mark 11:24. That's right. Thank you for it, Father. This situation is only temporary. Hallelujah. Look at it as temporary. Amen. Hallelujah. So, freedom from sickness comes by the truth, which is the seed, the Word of God. The seed has latent energy or power, and it's ready to be released the moment that you plant it, the moment you sow it and speak it. So how does... But we must plant it, by the way. It has to be planted in order to produce. Speaking it, planting it. Faith for healing comes by feasting on God's Word and then planting it. You've heard me say this before, too, that the door to the supernatural swings on two hinges. Believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. Not just believing, but believing and speaking. Because when you're speaking it, is you're planting that seed. You're sowing it so that it will produce a harvest. When you hear preaching and healing, preaching on healing, you're allowing healing seed to be planted in your heart. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, whatever you hear preached is a seed that will go into your heart. If you hear preaching on the gifts of the Spirit, then you're planting a seed for that, and you can experience the gifts of the Spirit. If you're hearing teachings on God's supernatural provision, that seed is being planted, and you're going to experience supernatural provision and have a greater expectation for God to supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you hear seed planted on healing, you're going to begin to experience what you have heard, the seed that has been implanted, right? So, point number six. And by the way, while I'm turning there, just thought of a few more. One lady had lesions for 15 years. And she was prayed for and healed. Totally gone. Lesions for 15 years. One fellow had a tailbone injury. And that left. One lady said the anointing went up from her feet. Just kind of went right up her body and the pain totally left. So the power of God is real today. By the way, let me look at Luke chapter 4. And I'm closing here. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. That is what it says. Okay, watch this. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue. And that's not this. Oh, 36, excuse me. Verse 36. That's a good one too. Get to church. His custom was to be in church, right? All right. That's a good custom. Amen. Verse 36. Maybe that was the Holy Spirit, huh? Anyhow, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they came out. Authority and power. The word power here is dynamos, which is the Greek word for dynamic power. We get the word dynamite from it. That's God's ability, His might. His mighty works, His miracles. And Jesus laid hands on people, didn't He? And so, how many know we're to imitate Him? Ephesians 5:1. So we too can lay hands on people. Mark 16, Verse 18 says, we will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It doesn't say they might recover. It says they shall recover. Now, here's where we get messed up. The shall recover part is his. You couldn't heal a flea, all right? The shall recover part is God's part. Our part is to be obedient and lay hands on the sick. And then we expect him to do his part, right? Shall recover, that's his part. But if we never lay hands, we're not going to see anything. When you go out there to the marketplace or Walmart or wherever you go, look for people who have needs. And let the nudging of the Lord, the leading of the Lord, cause you to say, ma'am, are you battling some sciatic pain or whatever? She's not anymore. She got delivered from sciatic pain. Amen. It was temporary, right? Yeah. Anyhow, and then may I pray for you? See, and pray for them, right? So be led by the Spirit, but laying on of hands, see. In fact, look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. Matthew 8, 14. Matthew 8, 14. Matthew 8 and verse 14 and 15. It says, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And in the Greek it says a great fever. I think in the NLT it says something like a great fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left. And she rose and ministered unto them. So, there it is. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. A believer has consecrated hands. You look at 1 Peter 2:8. It says that they have consecrated hands. 1 John 2:20 and 27 both says that the believer is anointed. You have an unction from the Holy One. Everybody say, I am anointed. Because I'm a believer. And so, Jesus gave us an example of what to do. Lay hands on people. And believe. And they shall recover. Amen. Now, is there any responsibility after that? Sure. You know the man at the pool of Bethesda, in John chapter 5, verse 14, once he was healed, remember what he told the man? He says, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to you. He says, well, I thought God was a healer. He is. But we can open the door to the enemy. Amen. And he says the worst thing could happen to him. So you don't want to walk in any unforgiveness. No, because that's one of the biggest roadblocks or biggest enemies to healing is unforgiveness. So that's why we got to release people. No matter what they've done to us, just say, Father, thank you for healing my hurts, but I release Uncle Joe or whomever, right? Don't walk in any unforgiveness. No, because that would be a real roadblock to your healing. He says, when you stand praying, forgive. Which shows that it's not a long, drawn-out process to forgive. You, right while you're standing there, you can forgive. You just say, I'm going to do it. I forgive Susie, whatever. I forgive her by faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. And it's done. Well, what if I don't feel? What? Don't worry about your feelings. Do it by faith. And thank Him every day that I have forgiven. Because you don't want a worse thing happen to you, right? Amen. Hallelujah. So God's grace. Think about it. God's healing power is grace, isn't it? It is His grace. Healing is the grace of God. Just like salvation is the grace of God. We're saved by grace through faith. The grace of God, what is it? It is God's willingness to use His power and His ability on our behalf, even though we don't deserve it. Hallelujah. And so healing is His grace. Receive His grace today. Get born again. Receive His grace. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Receive His grace. Get healing in your body. And walk around and thank Him every day. Take the praise break and thank Him every day. Father, I believe that Your anointing is working in me 24/7 to effect a healing and a cure. Thank You, Father, I believe I receive. Thank You, Father, that every abnormal cell, You are killing every abnormal cell in my body and replacing it with healthy, normal cells. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I am cancer free. Glory to God. I'm arthritis free, inflammation free. Thank You, Lord, that I'm the healed of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. And say that every single day. Well, what if I have symptoms? Keep saying it. Keep saying it. The manifestation will come eventually. Why? Because it's only temporary. Hallelujah. Is this helping anybody today? Hallelujah. Believe what the truth is saying. And listen, it has no expiration date. There's no expiration date on it, all right? So just refute unbelief and doubt and build faith for healing. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Preach myself happy. That's right. So walk around and just tell them, I'm blessed and highly favored. You are my El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. Hallelujah. I have abundance and no lack. Hallelujah. I'm going to thank you, Father. I believe by your word, I'm going to live long, live strong, and live healthy. How many think that's a good idea? Because if you live long, you want to live healthy. You don't want to be decrepit, right? So thank you, Father. I'm going to live long, live strong, and live healthy. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to salvation. He is the way to a better existence on this earth. Do you believe that today? Glory to God. Let's shout today to Jesus. He's awesome. Glory to God. Now, the most important miracle of all is salvation. So let's bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, if there's one person here today that doesn't know you as personal Lord and Savior, we ask that you would touch them right now. Draw on them by your Spirit, Father. Show them how much you love them, how much you care about them, and that your grace is sufficient to get them into the kingdom. Thank you for it, Father. Say this with me, if you would, this morning, just in case there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart Jesus is the Son of God. I know He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead to forgive me, to exonerate me, to give me resurrection power, according to Ephesians chapter 3. I receive it now. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I repent. Your blood is sufficient to cleanse me, to make me whole. I receive all of your provision. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody say, I'm forgiven. I'm washed in the blood. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm complete in Him. I am His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, child of God. He's my Father. Hallelujah. Come on, praise Him for it today. Woo, glory to God. Those of you out there watching, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart, I'm telling you, this is the best day of your life. The day that I made Jesus the Lord of my life was the best day of my life. Best. Hallelujah. You got something, brother? You got healed today?
One healing in particular. Remember years ago I had a broken neck?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
And well, after all the time was over and they took the brace off, I went to the doctor and they had the x-ray and it healed wrong. Rather than healing like that, It healed like that.
Okay.
Crooked.
Yeah.
So he says, well, he says, we're going to have to re-break your neck.
Oh my.
Take a piece of bone from your hip and fuse it in there. And this time we're going to have to put you in a halo, you know, with
those halos, yeah.
Yeah. And, meanwhile, I had 8 kids at home, and you know, we'd been living off welfare because I couldn't work.
Yeah.
And I already had a man who wanted to give me a job, and so I said, no. And, I said, this happened just around the fall, Christmas coming. And so I used wisdom. I said, well, if I can wait till next year. Uh-huh. I said, if I sneeze, my head won't fall off. And he says, no. He says, you're going to have it done. So I came up here and told you, you put oil on my head and we prayed. And so I went back, I think it was February, and they took x-rays. And they sent me down for more x-rays and more x-rays. When I came back, and it had rebroken itself and healed perfectly.
My goodness, the x-ray showed it was perfect now.
Yeah.
Glory to God. What a miracle. Yeah. Glory.
So there's nothing He can't heal
That's right.
I mean, that was a healing.
Yes.
And so my wife's saying, so it's a miracle. The doctor wouldn't say it. He says, well, you just don't need the operation now. I said, whatever. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Come on, let's thank God for Jesus. Healing power. Thank you, Lord, for restoration and healing our brother, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's praise him as we go. You're free to go. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.